Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be discussing this book written by Rick Joyner. We've been going along this book for some time now. And you can just jump on in with us. But this book is a part of a vision that he was given over 25 years ago. And in this vision, the Lord showed him about the coming harvest of souls that are going to be coming in the last days. And it's amazing. A lot of these prophecies that were shared in this vision have already come to pass. Mm-hmm. Some more still are needing to be fulfilled. But we've been discussing in particular chapter 10 of this book. It's entitled The Persecution. And amazing.
Yeah.
Because what we've been discussing, a lot of this stuff has already been unfolding right before our eyes. And the whole point of this chapter and where we're crescendoing at this point is the fact that a lot of the persecution that's taken place has occurred obviously since the time of the early church all the way throughout church history, but a lot of it's occurred in the East. But the West, the United States, is going to experience unprecedented persecution like she's never had before, the churches that what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to be able to stand during this time. We're going to have to be able to stay close to the Lord. And the key to victory is going to be keeping our heads low and keeping Jesus high. Mm-hmm. And Steve is going to be kind of leading us in this conversation today as we kind of just go maybe page by page, section by section, and interact with what we're reading and what we've learned.
Mm-hmm. In addition to what you're saying, too, a lot of the things that we've been talking about is the significance of the fact that, you know, the enemy is going to do all he can to humiliate the church, to humiliate just the body of Christ coming together. And one of the things that is so significant is what you're saying, John, is like we got to make that choice and say either we're going to humble ourselves or we're going to be humiliated. And it's those moments that we're continuing to talk about is that those are going to be those difficult moments when we can choose to love. But one of the things that's so significant is that during these discussions, we're hearing that there's going to be that increasing rise of accusation. There's going to be the increasing rise of people bringing false testimonies and people bringing just things that are being said about someone, whether it's true or whether it's not, all to bring about just a bad smear on the church. Mm-hmm. And he talks about it. He says one of the significant things that we have to be able to recognize is not just by the outside, not just by the flesh, but by the Spirit. When we see each other, when we see the fruit in their lives. And what is so significant is that he talks about, because you look at David and you look at his son Absalom, and he continues and he says, it's just as crucial that we know each other after the spirit and not the flesh, the heart and not just the externals. He says, the Lord knew when he called David that sin was in his heart and he would one day have a terrible fall. And he said he loved and used David before the fall and after it. And that's what's so significant, is that God knows that we have hardships in our heart. God knows that we have sin in our heart. And a lot of times, too, it's just like we can look at each other and see how everything just looks good and forget the fact that, you know, it's only by the grace of God that we're able to do any of this. Mm-hmm. And he continues on and talks about is the fact that we can't misuse the grace of God. You know, and when you read that, it's just like, what comes to mind when you see how we have so misapplied the teachings of the grace of God?
Well, I see that you're in at the end of the truth is stronger than lies. And what's pretty interesting is he continues to say there, Steve, that many, he goes back, says those who have walked uprightly during the times of compromise and self-seeking will prove to be some of the strongest leaders of all when the fire of persecution comes. He says, however, even the most sincere and pure in the ministry will succumb to moral and ethical failures. He goes on to say that many of these will be destroyed by their sins. Some, like David, who fell to one of the most grievous transgressions recorded, will be restored to even greater spiritual authority after sincere repentance. We must not give up on those who make mistakes. And that is so important, because For so long, it seems like the body of Christ has been the only spiritual army, if you will, that has, you know, shoots down its own wounded. And we can't continue to do that. You know, we need to be able to have compassion. We need to be able to love, you know, and restore people. You who are spiritual, the Bible says, you who are spiritual, right? Restore them gently. And that's the whole nature of the gospel. It's a redemptive gospel. We need to be redeemed. We need to be restored. But we don't need to fall into the hands of the accuser, if you will. Join that side and start
becoming
accusing.
Critical.
Yeah, critical, judgmental, and attacking our fellow brothers and sisters who have made mistakes, who have truly repented before God.
Yeah, and with that, it's just like, it's understanding that reality is that those difficulties are going to come, but it's just remembering that it's only by the grace of God that we're even able to be restored. It's only by the cross that we're even able to cry out for mercy and just say, you know what, I'm wrong. Because so often the devil would want us to jump on that bandwagon and see when others have fallen and forget the fact that, you know, we ourselves are fallen creatures and we ourselves all need Jesus. And that's so significant because these are those moments, because and earlier is that Rick Wright is the fact that we can't miss those opportunities of humiliation, because it's those moments when everything comes against us that we got to choose to just say, I'm not going to respond in that way. And in moving on to, he talks about is the fact that, you know, how Ananias and Sapphira responded that way. And they forgot the fact that they were responding to God, and they got caught up in the horizontal. They got caught up into what they were seeing with their eyes and forgetting the fact that it was the anointing of God, and they were responding to Peter. And he talks in correlation to basically, there was a piece of real estate that was sold and they brought the money to the apostles. Well, Ananias and Sapphira basically held back a portion of the money, and they lied about the cost. So, and Peter reminds him, he's like, you did not lie to me, you lied to the Holy Spirit. And what he talks about is the fact that they were moving, basically Peter and the apostles were moving in such a strong anointing that there was an immediate judgment. There was immediate response to that sin. And right now, in, he says the anointing of most leadership today is nowhere near as great. So the offense and consequences of sin are not as swift or great. This is why the Lord told the cities of Israel that their judgment would be even more severe than Sodom's, not because their sin was greater, but because the light they rejected was greater. And as the light and the anointing grows, the consequences of our sin will come back upon us much more swiftly until the end is near. And that's when we begin to see the Ananias and Sapphira. And it's just like, God's even showing us how, I mean, I know he's shown you, it's just like how the increasing of the anointing just upon the whole body.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then moving on, he gets into misunderstanding grace. It's kind of like what we were saying earlier.
I was going to say here that one of the things he says that, you know, what will save us, a spiritual principle will help to spare us during these difficult times, is that we will all reap what we have sown. And it's so important because we will all need grace to make it through. So let us now begin to sow all the grace that we can toward others and sow mercy. Because you're going to reap what you sow. And if we sow discord and we sow all this, you know, accusation we were talking about earlier, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it because that's what you're going to get, you know, pointed back. And so now's the time to be able to be compassionate towards each other, to sow mercy, to be graceful in our speech and in our conduct so that we can receive the same thing.
Yeah, and it's huge, too, because it's just like we forget, like it's the same correlation too. It's that same understanding, the fact that we have to continue to walk in mercy. We have to continue to walk in that, because the devil wants to do all he can for us to forget that, for us to forget the fact that, you know, it's God that holds us together, you know? And, it's just, when I read this, it's just everything is just really challenging me. And it just really begins for you to just be like, you know, dear God, it just causes you to cry out to God.
Yeah.
And it really gives you that empathy and just to see how so much is going on across the world, is going on just in present day. And it's just like we've got so much comfort around us. And to really get into this and you really see some of the things that are happening, it's just like we're going to be caught by surprise if we don't pay attention to this, if we're not, Lord, you know, prepare my heart for this.
Right.
Because it's just like, you know, it makes me think that much more of when Jesus was eating with the disciples and he says, you know, one of you is going to betray me. And all of them are responding and being like, you know, is it me? Is it me?
Yeah.
And it was Judas that says, you know, and he was totally oblivious to it. And it's like, if we're totally oblivious of the things that, you know, we're seeing coming to pass, that's going to be us. And we're going to be part of that one that's criticizing the church. We're going to be part of that one that is coming against the church. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's powerful. As we continue to discuss chapter 10 of Rick Joyner's book, The Harvest Regarding Persecution.
Yeah, we've been talking about understanding mercy. We've been talking about, obviously, reaping what we're sowing and understanding the fact that, you know, persecution is rising. And it's going to be on an increase. And we have to pay attention to those moments when people accuse us. But at the same time, too, is that it's a grace. It's God's grace that holds us together. And just, you know, during the break, we were talking about that, is that in the reality of how we can misapply God's grace.
Right. I mean, there's a powerful segment here in this particular section where it talks about, you know, presuming upon God's grace. You know, there's a great difference between trusting in God's grace and presuming upon it. Those who presume on the grace of God trample underfoot the blood of Christ by which we were purchased. The Lord can and will redeem and forgive beyond our comprehension, but those who test the Lord by carelessly falling into sin because they presume upon his mercy will bear tragic consequences.
Mm.
As the power of the kingdom is increasingly revealed, the consequences of sin will be even greater. When the Lord moves in power, the discipline and judgment of the Lord must likewise be more swift and unyielding, as in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, which you were alluding to earlier. You know, you think about that, and it's today's church, at least here in the West, you see, you know, it's this, we've talked about it many times, and I'm drawing a blank on the carefree,
maybe.
Yeah, this is the carefree, you know.
No fear of the Lord.
You know, there's no consequences for sin, basically. God's wingers. God's got enough grace for me, you know. He understands me, and we're robbing God, and we're letting all this garbage into our lives. We're just...
This is no big deal. They misunderstand what the grace of God is.
Right, and it's God's mercy and it's his patience with us that we're misunderstanding, you know. And there's going to be a time where the consequences are going to start to be greater. And
right.
As more as God's glory is revealed, the closer he gets to us, and the more consequences we're going to suffer.
Yeah,
you know, for the things we've been allowed in our lives.
Right. Because the grace of God is God's unmerited favor. You know,
right.
It's God's blessing even though we don't deserve it. So trusting in it is saying, man, I'm just trusting in God. I'm going after God. I'm trusting God. I know that I deserve this. And he's just giving me mercy, you know. But grace is, man, I don't deserve his love. I don't deserve his blessing. I don't deserve his forgiveness. And trusting in it is saying, I'm just trusting in it. But presuming is saying, well, man, I'm just going to continue doing what I want to do, live whatever life I want to live, sin, do whatever, and I'm just going to presume that God's grace is there for me, that, you know, he's always going to shine upon me. He's going to continue to give me what I don't deserve. And it's like, don't make that tragic mistake, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Same way there's a big difference between being remorseful and repentant. You know, just because you feel sorry doesn't mean that you repent it.
Yeah,
right.
And that's that huge awareness of the presence of the Lord. And it's just like when you know that the eyes of the Lord see these things, when you know how God responds to sin, it's just like you have to, you know, you recognize, you know, God's holy. And it's just like when you read in the book of Acts, when Ananias and Sapphira respond in that way, and when the church heard about these events, great fear seized the whole church. And it's just like, in the present day church in the West, in America, very little do you see about the fear of the Lord. But all that's going to change in the days ahead. And it's like, I don't want to be the Ananias and Sapphira. I don't want to be that person that realizes, like, okay, I don't want to move. And we've talked about it before as far as moving in familiarity. And it's like, God is not someone to be familiar with. And it's just like, when we begin to see him as holy, we'll begin to live like that. And it's just like, that's a huge, that's a stark difference. And in basically the next heading, when he talks about misunderstanding grace, that's what we were talking about before, is that we have to remember the fact that, like you were saying, it's only by the grace of God that we're able to do this. It's only by the grace of God, because that's the huge thing. We try to understand the grace before we understand the fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's understanding the fear of the Lord, then you realize it's only by the grace of God that you're able to walk with God in the fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's that huge perspective in order, because when you try to just say grace, 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 without understanding the holiness of God, it's just like, that's a twisted perspective of grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's powerful. And in that same area, he begins to talk about forgiveness for betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
Even many who have denied and betrayed their brothers and sisters in Christ in the coming persecution will repent and be restored. So it's important, too, that although at the same time they're in this great period and time of persecution, well, it's a few things to remember that according to what God showed Rick, it's not going to last forever for a long period mm-hmm. of time, but that in that time a lot of whack things are going to happen. Brothers are going to turn against brother, although mm-hmm. we read that before. Family members are going to turn against family member. Understand that those people need to be restored, that they're going to come back and say, mm-hmm. man, what did I do? You know, forgive me for selling you out. Forgive me for being a Judas. And that we have to have enough compassion, enough mercy upon those too.
Yeah.
Not only on the ones persecuting, but on the ones that were used, a brother and a sister that was used in that persecution and in that betrayal.
Yeah. And in that moment, I mean, you think about those moments, it's just like when you encountered the love of God and you understood how God sees your sin, and you see your sin as God sees it, and then all of a sudden you encounter God's mercy and his forgiveness, mm-hmm. and you're overwhelmed with love for God because he forgave you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's like, that's how we have to respond when someone else has eyes to see their own sin. And like you're saying, instead of shooting down the wounded, be like, brother, I'm forgiven. I forgive you, man.
Mm-hmm.
God's been merciful to me. I mean, you think about it. God desires mercy more than he does sacrifice.
Right.
And that's the thing. It's just like when we're able to be merciful to one another, that's when we're showing Jesus the most. And something that has always just really just spoken so much to me is Peter's journey. And it's just like Peter denied Jesus, but at the same time, he was restored by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about that.
Because he repented.
Because he repented.
Right.
But that's the thing, too, is that he went through that season of understanding the fact of just like, what did I do?
Mm-hmm.
But there was a season of restoration. And right after pretty much the next paragraph, Johnny writes about it. And he says, some who have experienced the greatest weakness in denying the Lord will, like Peter, be restored and will love the Lord more because they will have been forgiven of more. These will go on to give their lives for the greatest victories of the faith. And he talks about understanding the fact that, like you said, the persecution is going to increase, and this persecution will bring paranoia upon pretenders. But true believers will grow in strength and trust. These will not become closed to people because of the persecution, but more open, taking greater and greater chances with their lives in order to lead others to Christ or to heal and restore the fallen. And that makes so much sense when you look at the whole process of what Peter went through, from denying Jesus, having eyes to see, responding to Jesus from the boat, running to him, being restored, repenting, to then preaching the most powerful gospel at the birth of the church.
Yeah.
And it's like fire refines. And the fire of God, when he pours out and we see that persecution increase, it's going to expose so many of the motives, and it's going to expose so many of the things that we see in the church. This is good. You know, it's getting that perspective. You know, we just finished up talking about the fact that, you know, many are going to betray one another. There's going to be those moments of having mercy for one another and forgiveness, because we ourselves can be that. We ourselves can betray another if we're not walking in the fear of the Lord, if we don't understand the fact that it's only by grace, it's only by mercy. And with that, he talks about basically in the next basically hit, he's like, freedom and persecution will change sides. And he talks about, he says, in what are presently some of the most free countries, a time is coming when the penalty for owning or possessing a Bible or a religious book will be prison or death. And of a lot of the previous segments, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing it in China. We're seeing it in North Korea. We're seeing it in Northern Iraq. To simply say Jesus is Lord mm-hmm. is just against Islam. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To simply walk with the Bible, to simply, we talked about those two girls, John, about I think they had like thousands of Bibles that they were giving away, and they had to serve hard labor in prison.
Yes, in Iran.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's just like, you look in America, and there's Bible bumper stickers, there's Bibles, there's Jesus pins, and it's just like, never before is there a country where there's such an abundance of the name of Jesus. And he continues on, and he says, in the parts of the world that have experienced the greatest persecution of religion, great freedom will come. Such a loss of religious freedom would seem to be a devastating blow to the gospel, but it will not thwart or even slow down its furtherance. All things do work to the good for those who love God, who love the Lord, even this. And that's the thing, and he talks about the fact that in the original church, they were blessed if they had a full scroll of one book of the Old Testament. Mm. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that before, and it's just like, there are people in parts of the world that have one page of the Bible in a different language that they don't even understand. They will take that page, go out in the middle of the woods, and bury it. And then just stare at it and recognize that it's holy, recognize that it's God, but they have no idea how to read it. And we have the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, as a kid, the Bible was the place where you put your birth certificates.
Yeah.
And it's just like this, I mean, I can't think of the names, but it's just like when you think about the lives and the blood that was shed so that people could print the Bible, so that people could see it freely.
Tyndale and Wycliffe and all the things they did just to have the King James Version.
Yeah. And he says, if a congregation had even one scroll of an Old Testament, they were blessed. Like I was saying before, he says, even so, we have not even come close to approaching the power of their faith. They were dependent on a living relationship with the Lord for their guidance, and this forced them to develop a living relationship and communication with Him, which many modern Christians have neglected. And it's like, that's why you hear us talking about abiding so much, because it's not just about memorizing Scripture. Because the religious Pharisees did that when they were standing face to face with Jesus. And that's the thing. We have to know His voice. We have to know the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's like you have to allow God to move in your life, not just read it like a math book.
Right. And one of the things he says is, however, he never meant for it, speaking of the Bible, to take place in our lives. Yes, we put an extreme importance on the Word of God and abiding with God and reading the Bible, which needs to be, and we're so far removed from it being right now taking over, but it's all about developing a relationship with the Lord, living in context with God, listening, reading, and then, of course, practicing and implementing those things that God has revealed to us by, you know, what he's allowed to be written in, you know, in the Word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's huge because that's that huge different paradigm. Is like when the Bible becomes from a book to the voice of God.
Mm.
You know, we've said it many times before that the Bible's the only book that comes with the author. And he speaks to you. And that's the huge thing. It's just like you can introduce someone and tell them about Jesus. But the moment that they hear his voice and he's speaking to them, that's that huge difference. That's that huge revelation. And it just really encourages me because we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and how Jesus says he's going to remind you of everything that I said. And I think about that and it's just like, I can't remember the whole Bible, but it's like, it's the role of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
he talks about that in the very next section there. He says, Jesus did not say that when he went away, he would leave us a book to lead us into all truth. He said that he would send us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can never be taken away from us, even when books can. Mm. It is not just knowing the book of the Lord that should be our goal, but knowing the Lord of the book.
Mm.
If we know Him, losing our Bibles will not affect our faith, because we have the author of the Bible living within us.
Wow, that's powerful.
That's why it's so important that we abide, because we can recognize His voice. Mm-hmm. We have the Word in us. So even when this persecution comes, you know, they take our Bible, say they take all of, you know, everything that, the things that we use, it doesn't matter because it's inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, the Holy Spirit can remind us at any time, any moment, any given situation, what He wants you to know, what you need to say, whatever it is.
Yeah. And I can't remember which specific testimony it was, but there was somebody who was a believer that was, they got taken captive. And of all the, and I don't know if they were in captivity for like a year or so, but what she had said was when she was finally freed, and John, like I said, you can give me context on this if you're aware of it. And she says, the worst day was the one day when I did not feel the presence of God.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a huge thing. And it's just like, okay, we have the Bible. But the thing is, though, well, we need the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. Because he says, you will live by every proceeding word that comes out of the Father, the revealed word of God. And that's that huge thing, is that someone can tell you a scripture, but when you have that alone time and God reveals himself to you, nobody can take that from you.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can take that experience from you. And I love the saying that you always say, John, is that the person with an argument is always at the mercy of the person with the encounter or the experience.
Yeah.
Experience. And that's the true reality. And it's like God wants us to experience him, mm-hmm. to walk with him, to know him intimately through that revelation word.
Yeah. And it's why it's important, too, to test how you hear God's voice, because it's important that you know the voice of mm-hmm. the Lord and what's the fruit of following that voice. You know, there's three voices that oftentimes you have to deal with. You got actually maybe four, but you have your own voice that you hear in your head. You have Satan's voice that's tried to attack you. You have other people's voice, and then you have the Holy Spirit's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you have to do is you got to be able to tune your ears to God's voice and shut out the other voices. And then when you do step out on the voice of God, or the voice, you know, as you're learning to tune your ears to God, you need to examine the fruit mm-hmm. of what you've tested. So mm-hmm. Lord, you feel the Lord is, you know, telling you to do this, and it's confirmed in the Word, and you feel like this is God, and you step out on it, but it, you know, and you do that repeatedly, and you have crashing experiences. Maybe that's not God's voice. Maybe you're, you know, one clear way to know what's not the God's voice is if it tells you to do something that's, you know, against what the Bible tells you. You know, mm-hmm. it contradicts the Bible. If it does, that's not the voice of God. You know what I mean? But you'll get to experience that once you follow the Lord's leading and promptings, and you start seeing the fruit of that, then you'll start being able to recognize his voice more and more, and you'll see all the many different dimensions that God will begin to speak to you. And that's what you're saying, is getting to walk with him every day experientially and beginning to actually know him, because those who do know their God, Daniel mm-hmm. says, will do great exploits. But you got to know him, you know what I'm saying?
And that's a huge thing, is like, and that's what I love, Pat, what you said before, is that those that are going to do great things in those moments of trials, in those moments of hardships and difficulty, because they're not going to be swayed left or right by what they see in the horizontal, because they've experienced the vertical.
Mm.
They've experienced the God, and you said it before, John, is the person that kneels before God can stand before anybody.
Mm.
And that's that thing, and that's why you hear that so significantly, because, you know, it's going to be a physical battle. The days that are ahead of us, it's the best of times and the worst of times. And we just shared about the earthquake that happened in California. And at the same time, too, there were earthquakes that were happening in the midst of the Azusa breakout and the Azusa revival. And that's the thing. And it's just like, it doesn't matter what shakes in this world. It's like when you know that the kingdom is for you, and who's holding the kingdom mm-hmm. and who's holding you, mm-hmm. you're going to be a bold witness for him. And it's going to be that much more of a testimony when people are looking at what their God is, and they see you standing up for your God. These really are exciting days. And that's the thing, was when we get that paradigm, when we get that reality that whatever happens in the horizontal, because it's not about this.
Mm-mm.
And it's just, and that's getting that more of a connection in that abiding time, in that focus on the vertical. It gives you that peace. It gives you that understanding to be able to move in that boldness, to be able to move in that clarity and that confidence.
Mm.
Because the devil knows how important your confidence is, and he's going to do everything he can
mm-hmm.
to try to
rock it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Man, this has been so insightful, so mm-hmm. full of, it's like, oh my goodness, okay, now we know.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know, what are we going to do? But there's more. There's some changes and advances that are coming, and communism and all type of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, Steve, who's...
Yeah, we're actually just talking just during the quick break of just seeing how many things that we're seeing in the world right now. Actually, mm-hmm. he wrote in regards to the border. Pat?
Yeah, he says right here, there will be a period of time when the United States will have a hot border to the south with almost daily clashes and casualties. I mean, we're seeing that right now. Internal pressures Internal pressures will have caused such a lack of resolve that she will even yield large sections of her own territory to invaders by failing to use the force required to stop them. At that time, the enemies within will be greater than those without.
What's interesting about what you're reading there is that this was written 25 years ago. In the last 10 years, you couldn't see any reality of where that this could be,
possibility.
Yeah. And it's happening now. And if you have the newer edition, Rick writes at the end of this, he gives kind of an update as to what's happened since he was first given this vision. He believes that the internal, because you read something here about the internal pressures, it has to do with government officials that have turned a blind eye and their lack of resolve to be able to deal with the borders and deal with what's going on. And so we just even did in a previous segment about how the borders are porous and you have ISIS, potentially in the United States and the havoc that they could raise. In the beginning of this section, it's not just America, but he talks about how communism and the type of role that communism will have and their assault. And he says they will make some significant advances, not just in what's going to be happening in the United States, but South Korea, which we know South Korea to be a free place now. North Korea is a communist country, but South Korea, the Philippines, South and Central America. And a lot of people are falling asleep on South and Central America, but understand that, they're very close, but don't fall asleep. A lot of those countries are socialist countries, and Colombia is now on ranked in the top 25 of countries where they persecute Christians. And who would have thought that? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the tide is turning, if you will, and he talks about South Central, including Mexico, and most of Africa will be swept by communism.
Wow.
Yeah, when I hear about that, John, too, it's just like we're seeing that continued chaos, just literally the ebbs and flows of what's been going on across the world. And, on here on the last page, I think about what he says, it will be during the confusion of these times that the church will make her greatest advances in attaining the life and power in which she was called to walk. Mm. And that's what I think about. It's just like we look at the book of Acts, we look at, the church in history, and it's like amidst those most chaotic moments, that was when she made the biggest advances, amidst those like greatest persecution, that's when she made the greatest advances. And he says, the church will be abiding so close to her Lord that during these times she will give no attention to what is going on in the world except as it may relate to opportunities for spreading the gospel. And it's like, where are you hearing that perspective? That instead of getting caught up into getting so focused on the chaotic moments, you're looking at those hectic moments of turmoil and tragedy when we say, okay, that's an opportunity. Those are softened hearts to spread the gospel. Mm-hmm. People that are realizing, I need Jesus. And that's a huge thing. And I think is so beautiful is that when the church recognizes those people that don't know him, And I think about when Jesus saw the crowds, he saw them like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion. And it's like when we begin to move in that compassion and we see those people who don't know the Lord going through hardship and we move with compassion for them, sharing the gospel, it's like it's going to be exciting.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely amazing. In conjunction with all of that, and you have the false church rising and you have all this going on, Rick writes that this wave of communism that's going to take a lot of these countries is the whole attempt there is to completely wipe out Christianity, as well as other religions. He continues to say that at the same time, in some communist countries, religious tolerance will increase, but seldom to the degree that it could be considered true religious freedom. In the nations that remain free or democratic, religious tolerance will increase until believers will be in some degree of danger in every nation on the earth. Pat, if you will, go ahead and read that section again, because it's so important in regards to what is happening in the United States, where there'll be a period of time,
right?
Because we really want to hone in and not just kind of jump all, we want to just sit on here for a little bit.
Sure. He says there will be a period of time when the United States will have a hot border to the south with almost daily clashes and casualties. Internal pressures will have caused such a lack of resolve that she will even yield large sections of her own territory to invaders by failing to use the force required to stop them. At that time, the enemies within will be greater than those without.
Think about that. We're talking about our nation. We're talking about the United States, a nation that has sent more missionaries around the world than any other nation. A democratic nation where we vote, we have a constitution, and now all of a sudden, over a period of time, I shouldn't say all of a sudden, but it seems like all of a sudden here in this vision, we're going to be able to have invaders, folks that are we're going to give up large portions of territory over to people that will come into our country and give, you know, come into our land. And you think about this and you say, man, we have a choice. We need to do something about this. As a church, we can begin to pray. We can stand in the gap. But there's going to be a hot war on the border, and it's happening now.
Yeah. And you talked about it yesterday with Governor
Rick Perry.
Rick Perry's talking about it. He believes that he has no doubt that probably ISIS is probably across the border.
Yeah. Think about that. ISIS, a radical terrorist jihadist group that is butchering people all over the Middle East, cutting people's heads off, Christians beheading children, could be right now, according to the governor who, I mean, governs the second largest state in the union. I mean, this is not like, I think he kind of knows what he's talking about, who shares a border on Mexico. And we've also shared here on the program regarding books that they have found on the borders that translate the Urdu language. And it's like, oh my goodness, it's here.
It's happening right now.
And one of the things that the enemy would love to do to us, as he always, this is his goal here, is to wage war at us, right? But at the same time, cause us to be distracted by shiny objects, not understanding that we're actually in a war. And if you wax over this, you're not going to be able to realize that we're fighting a war right now. That hot war is happening at this moment. But the sad to say is that there's so many shiny objects all over the country that the church and much of the country is distracted by them.
And it makes me think, you guys might remember the old analogy, but it's just like if you imagine putting a frog in a pot of boiling hot water, he's going to jump right out.
Right.
But if you throw him in a pot of cold water and you slowly turn it up, eventually you're going to kill him.
Right.
And that's the same thing that's going on, is that God is being pulled out of homes, out of basically saying the fact that it's difficult for families to lead. It's difficult in every way of children being able to acknowledge God in classrooms, what you just said in an earlier program. God is being pulled out of pretty much every level in our community, in our nation, even in our schools, and it's that religious intolerance.
Yes. We have enemies inside the nation right now. We have enemies that want to take the nation down. And it's important that for us to stay continually educated on, my goodness, we have a constitution. There is a way to a path for someone to become a citizen in this nation. And we have to secure the borders. A nation that doesn't secure the borders fails to exist as a nation. They must be protected. And I'm telling you, it's time for leadership to rise up, but it's time for us as Americans, as Christians, not only to pray for our country, to pray for our borders, but to pray for elected officials that will be able to defend us and strengthen our borders and strengthen our country.
Absolutely.
Listen, we don't want this to happen, and part of prophecy is foretelling so that we can actually pray and be, you know, in step with the Lord.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.